Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, baby!
It's a Merry Christmas indeed, except for Christmas already happened, and at this point, Happy New Year! We are in the new year! We are in 2022! Can you believe that 2021 is over? I certainly can, but you know what's not over? This podcast, and the podcast will rock. It's a new edition of the podcast where we dive into the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands in the world, Van Halen. And we discuss it. We talk about whatever track may come. This is completely unscripted. We do not choose the songs ahead of time. We spin the wheel. But if you've been with us so far, you already know that. And you know that I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer, with me as always, Corey Morissette. How cold is it?
It is in Celsius minus 32, I believe, as we tape this. With the wind chill, we're into the minus 40s, which whether you're Celsius or Fahrenheit, when it gets that cold, it doesn't matter. The temperature is pretty much the same.
You had me at minus.
Yeah. Oh my God. Unbelievable cold. I heard on the Weather Network today that some of the coldest air on planet Earth currently resides over Canada, and specifically where I am. And it's been a rough few days trying to operate with this level of cold. The minute you walk outside, everything hurts. And I always think back to that meme where the little stick man says, "The air hurts my face. Why do I live in a place where the air hurts my face?" And I'm wondering that every day of my life right now.
But at this point, you should, well, you would think that because you're born and raised in the Great White North, you would think that at this point you're just used to it. But I gotta say, the more I think on it, first of all, it hurts me just hearing you talk about it. But I got to imagine that it never gets any easier. You never get used to it. It's just, it's either extremely cold or it's not. And yeah, I feel for you, buddy. I do, because I'm a total baby when it gets below 40 degrees over here, and that's in Fahrenheit. So you would probably think that's springtime, you dipshit. Like, it's completely fine. But me, I can't handle it. But I'm also of the southern United States, so we don't usually have super winters. Not usually. Every once in a while.
I know.
But, yeah.
Plus 40, I think, is 40 degrees for you guys is like plus 4 or 5, like in that range here. So that's shorts weather. So yeah, that is not cold. And I was just listening to Ken Knapsack's show today, and he was talking about how bloody cold it is in L.A. And I think it was in the 50s or the 60s. And I want to drive there, A, because it's warm, and B, so I could smack him and just say, you don't know cold. Unless you've experienced minus 40, you don't know cold.
You don't know cold, boy. That's right. Corey is beyond the wall. So yeah, we unless you are up there with him, you definitely don't know cold like he do and like they do. But you know, one way to get your blood boiling and get warm again is listening to some good rock and roll. And look no further than Van Halen. Am I right?
Absolutely. And you know, we took a little break for Christmas, and hopefully everybody out there had a very good Christmas. I know I did.
That's right.
I'm hoping Mark did as well. I got some nice vinyl for Christmas. No Van Halen, because I already have it all. But you know, I got some new pieces, some new Beatles actually to add to the collection. So that was great. Did you have a present that stood out to you this year, Mark?
I absolutely did. For the listeners at home, if you haven't noticed, I might be coming through a little bit clearer. That is because I am not using my crappy headphone microphone, because I've been using that recently because when I've been moving, I just moved out from my old place into the place with my girlfriend, and I have been sans audio interface and all the necessary equipment one would need to record a podcast and do it well. But thankfully, Corey is very patient, and we've just been able to make do with what I have. But now, thanks to the aforementioned lovely girlfriend of mine, she went ahead and went and just got me a whole bunch of stuff. I got a new mic. I got a new interface. There's a nice little stand it's on, a little mic guard. So I actually look professional, and I sound semi-professional. So big ups to her. Big love. That was a complete shock, complete surprise. I was not expecting that in the least. So I got that, and then I got some other assorted goodies. But top of my list right now is certainly the recording equipment that I got. So yay. Good, happy Christmas to me.
Well, you sound great, and it looks great. You got the nice the pea popper screen in front of the mic, and you got some nice mood lighting there. I know the people at home can't appreciate it, but it's going to make me looking at you for 45 minutes a week a heck of a lot easier, that's for sure.
Well, I try my best. But I hope everyone out there had wonderful holidays if you celebrate. Yeah, at this point, at the time of this recording, it is right before New Year's, just to you know, unveil the curtain a bit. So by the time you're listening, Happy New Year. I hope everything was splendid. I hope your parties, though minimal and safe, because we're still in a pandemic. Don't let anyone tell you we're not. We are. But I hope everything was good. Hope you were safe. Hope you didn't get too drunk. And I hope your hangover goes away, you know, splendidly.
And but, I can tell you, I can look into the future, because I know for my New Year's, I'm going to be at home with my wife and my kids, probably playing Monopoly, maybe watching some Spider-Man movies, because one of those came out not too long ago and it was pretty good.
It's true.
So the kids want to go back and watch more Spider-Man. And you know what? I got my booster shot today. So I'm now thrice vaccinated against the COVID. So I'm doing my part, and I'm still here, not suffering too many side effects.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. I am still in need of the booster. Just haven't had the time to go get it done. So I'm just going to have to will myself to a nearby clinic, pharmacy, whatever. It's not hard. It's not hard to find. It's very easy. I've just been, you know, work has kept me busy. And then on weekends, I want to do literally nothing. So that's usually what I do. But the booster's happening. I will get the booster. It will happen. So now that we got all the pleasantries out of the way, it's time to get down to the nitty gritty. Last week we had our last episode, I should say, we had our first nay. I think, well, not our first nay. I'm sorry. Let me rephrase. We had our first non David Lee Roth track. That's what we had. We had one track from the Gary era, the Gary Cherone of Extreme. And we were, spoiler alert, if you haven't listened to the episode, if you haven't, pause this, go back, listen to it. Okay, you back? Cool. Now you know we were not enthused about that track, and I am less enthused about that album, to be honest with you, for the next time the wheel decides, hey, you know what? You guys are listening to another Gary era. Let's hope that's not the case, at least for a while, because I want to actually listen to some cool tunes, some tunes that we maybe aren't familiar with as much, but will become an instant fan. That's my hope. That's always my goal of this show. I would assume that, Corey, you have the same goal in mind.
Absolutely, but I gotta tell you, I'm worried because the first five episodes were all Dave songs. So I'm thinking the next five are all Gary songs, which means we're gonna get five from Van Halen 3. Because the wheel is just a fickle mistress, Mark. I don't know what it is. She's not delivering. She gave us some good cuts from the Dave era. Of course, we had Hot for Teacher, top five, maybe top 10 for sure. Van Halen absolutely. Songs of all time. Yeah.
She threw us a bone. And now she wants to, she's going to get into the gray area, so to speak.
Exactly. Now this is the show right before New Year. So I'm hoping. She's going to be nice. And because we've changed our rating system a little bit, which maybe we'll get into after the song plays, and we'll explain the rating system and play the new clip for you. But I'm hoping because we changed the rating system to something a little more Sammy orientated, maybe that's going to help grease the wheels, so to speak.
Yeah, maybe that'll influence the way she spins. Well, full disclosure, we've got the wheel primed already. We had to give it the primer spin, and it did land on a Sammy tune. So that bodes well, I think. Perhaps.
I'm shuffling it again to make sure that we don't screw anything up. But yeah, it was a track from OU812 that neither of us recognized. So that would have been a lot of fun. I got to tell you, so. I know that we have a fan out there, Mark. His name is Brett, and he's told us that he would really like to come on the show sometime, but he really wants to talk about 5150. That's his favorite Van Halen song. I'm like, well, it's all random. So he's just going to have to be on speed dial, because if we roll 5150, I'll try and get him on the show right away.
Oh, boy, we may have to change the format of our show and just go live, if that's
there
the
you
case.
Go.
But that's kind of the bummer of the show is we can't really plan ahead. We just sort of we spin the wheel and then we go. By the way, thank you, Brett, for listening and tuning in and giving your feedback. We hope to have you on. We definitely do. There are a couple of people that want to throw in their two cents, and when I told them how we do this show, they kind of went, oh, so I could potentially be a guest on a not so great song. And I said, yes, exactly. So
if we got to be here, they got to be here. Yep.
But it actually, you would think that would turn some people away, but the ones I've talked to are actually really intrigued by that. So good stuff on the way. We assure you, there are a lot of tracks to go through. So you never know what the future holds in store. I'm not even going to make a prediction. I'm not going to guess. I'm just going to let the wheel do what it do. And hopefully she is merciful.
I agree. No prediction. I'm going to be happy with whatever comes up. But I'm hoping it's something good to usher out 2021. And we'll start 2022 on a fresh start. But if you're ready, Mark, and if Sammy's ready, we'll cue the music.
Here we go!
It's about time from Best of Both Worlds, the greatest hits. This is one of the extra tracks from Best of Both Worlds. Yeah, it's about time. I believe Supper's Ready is a Genesis song. What the hell am I thinking? Up for Breakfast. because I hate them both. I hate Up for Breakfast and I hate Supper's Ready. But no, It's About Time was one of the extra tracks from the greatest hits, Best of Both Worlds.
Full disclosure, we will not be doing the Genesis spinoff show because Corey just basically gave us an insight.
Hey, you know what?
Feelings.
If it's Genesis 1980 on, I'm all in because I love some Phil Collins led Genesis, but anything like Limelines Down on Broadway and all that garbage, fuck and no, hate it all.
Wow. I just prefer Peter Gabriel solo so maybe we'll talk about that later. Best of Both Worlds. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here and I'm not sure that I've really jammed this song. If I have, then it must have been very briefly.
It's a Sammy song.
Nothing is coming to mind. It is a Sammy song.
It is a Sammy. It's our first Sammy song. Yeah. One of the three. Yeah, exactly. one of three new tracks from Best of Both Worlds. Michael Anthony did not play bass on the three new songs, although he did provide backing vocals. Actually, Michael Anthony was not an official band member at this point, and the songs were already recorded before he rejoined. So all the bass guitar on these songs were played, again, like Van Halen 3, played by Eddie Van Halen.
Well, that'll be interesting. That because on the last track that we listened to that we know Eddie played bass on, he got a little I don't want to say funky. He got to flex a little bit, you know, show us his bass range. So I'm curious to see if he does the same for this track.
Yeah, I haven't heard this one in a while. I do like Best of Both Worlds. Best of Volume 1 was the first Greatest Hits track. This one came out in 04, right before, I believe, the tour that that Sammy kind of went out with them on. Originally, the plan was going to be one disc would be all Roth songs, and the other was going to be all Hagar songs, including the three new ones. But they had problems negotiating with David Lee Roth, which led to the track listing being mixed up. For whatever reason, I don't know. Dave seems like an eccentric guy. Of course, he's going to have issues with a lot of things. So that was kind of the holdup there.
That's what I was just about to say. Like, that is that statement right there was a shocker to no one.
But I remember liking this song. It's got a catchy chorus. I actually get it stuck in my head quite a lot when I'm just kind of bopping down the street. I'm kind of looking forward to hearing it. Because it's been a while. The credited songwriters are Sammy Hagar, Alex Van Halen, and Eddie Van Halen. So here's a songwriting credit for Alex. And actually, I'm on the Wikipedia page for Best of Both Worlds, and going down the list, Alex is credited on now every song. I don't know if he was on the other tracks from like any of the other albums, but he's credited on pretty much every song now all of a sudden.
I got to imagine that obviously Eddie is credited, but I got to imagine at least Alex is credited as well. Those two being the credited writers for all of them. I mean, because the band is called Van Halen, and those two guys are the Van Halens. So, I mean, they are the band. So I have to imagine that he's credited on every other track. Just like Eddie, but you never know. Maybe not. There may be a few tracks where, let's just pretend for a second that Eddie decided, hey, Alex, you know what? I'm going to play drums on this one. Like, okay, give it a whirl, buddy. And then he's the credited drummer. I don't know.
I only bring that up because, I only bring that up because Van Halen had that weird thing where when Michael Anthony left the band, they redid the album covers without him on it. And they put Wolfgang, especially on Van Halen 1.
Oh, yeah.
Which pissed all the fans off. Like, yeah, that's just awful. Then they retroactively got rid of those and went back to the Michael Anthony versions. But Michael Anthony is listed as co-writer on most of these as well. So maybe it was just because they were splitting royalties 25% each back in the early days. Be. That's why Anthony is still on there as well. But I had heard they'd taken away his royalties retroactively from 1984 on, but I'm looking at, you know, Top of the World and things like that. He's still listed as a writer, so it could be just a weird Wikipedia thing too.
Could be. I really hope they, because I don't want to call that petty or just like douchebaggery, but it certainly comes across that way. So I really hope that's not true. Or if it was true, I hope that's been retroactively fixed. Yes. But you never know. You never know. The music business is weird and people are weirder. So I'm excited to check this out. Like I said, I've probably heard it, but there is nothing coming to mind right now. So as we're listening, I'm sure something will jog my memory, but maybe it won't. So I'm going into this very fresh.
Excellent. All right, let's start. It's About Time from the Best Of album, Best Of Both Worlds. All right? Right off the hop, I see Mark smiling and kind of bopping his head. That's a pretty heavy, dirty intro for Van Halen.
What a crunchy riff, man. That is not what I anticipated at all. And now I am fully convinced I have not listened to this song before. I was completely wrong. I wasn't ready for that. But the dirtiness, as you say, it's true. It's a very dirty riff, but it's very catchy. And I got my my stank face on, just kind of like bobbing away, because it's like, yeah, that's one of those riffs. And a lot of guitar players, musicians, what have you out there will know what I'm talking about. It's one of those riffs that just sort of make you your face cringes, but you're not upset about it. You're just like, you just kind of, it just does something to you. That's the reaction that I'm having for this. And I'm digging that so far, at least the riff. It'll be interesting to hear Sammy's voice come in over that.
Here's something else to watch out for too. I'm just on song facts for Van Halen. It's About Time. And they talk about, this is the first time a Van Halen song was recorded entirely with Pro Tools and not in a traditional studio. Keep that in mind. Also, Eddie's talents on rhythm guitar, they say, really stand out on this song. And I was actually driving around today and Pound Cake came on from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. And his rhythm playing on that, I thought, was tremendous, especially during the solo. It really makes that song click. It's kind of similar on this song, if I remember correctly, and we're coming up to it here pretty soon.
That's a fantastic track. I can't wait to talk about that one. But
love me some Pound Cake. All right.
Yeah, let's listen to some more.
All right. I love that chorus. That's the part that gets stuck in my head all the time. You've got everything. Everything that's great about the Van Hagar era of Van Halen is here. You got Sammy's tremendous vocals, especially that high range, right? You got Michael Anthony and Eddie on background vocals. You got Michael Anthony's nice high, background vocal on that. You got just a tasty riff underneath and a catchy chorus. This is everything I love about Sammy Hagar era Van Halen.
Absolutely. And right away, with that dirty riff, it sounded kind of unfamiliar to me. But then they just completely did away with that real quick and cut right into the Van Halen formula that is so recognizable. Like, I heard it. That's not a bad thing. I'm not insulting it whatsoever. I'm just saying, like, okay, you gave us a different little flavor, but then only to remind us what band we're listening to. Cool. I'm not mad about it. As you say, Sammy's just so good. He's just so good. There are times where, if I'm jamming Van Halen and a Sammy song comes on, I'll just listen to him, man. I just go like, that dude, his pipes were so powerful. It's effortless. It's still something hard. That's true. If you listen to him now, he can still do the majority of what he might have to bring the key down these days. But age comes for us all. But look, a lot of guys from his era, vocal wise, that were supposedly the best can't do that anymore. Sammy's still doing it. So that's something to be something to think on. Also, you mentioned, I think, Eddie is actually playing bass on this song, yes?
Yes.
He's showing out. I'm noticing there's a lot of... I'm not saying Michael's a bad bass player. I'm saying Michael knows his job and he does it. You know, he sticks in the pocket. He stays with the rhythm. He doesn't really show out. There's not a lot of tracks, and feel free to correct me, everyone out there, if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge, there's not a lot of tracks where he shows out his bass ability. But in this one, Eddie is completely showing out. He's doing exactly what I thought he might do. And I guess, I don't know if it's a middle finger to Michael, like, bro, I can do your job better than you. Like, I don't know. It might be kind of like... the subtext might be there just a little bit. I don't know. But either way, I love the bass line in this. And Eddie is making sure that you hear it as well as, you know, having it blend in with the regular guitar riffs and also staying right on time, right in the rhythm with Alex. Yeah, this is already catchy as hell. And I just want you to just keep playing it.
Just one more quick note.
Go ahead.
As I'm playing drums more and more, I'm focusing on the drums. And this is what I love about Alex Van Halen on the drums. When you got that power without being flashy. Because when Alex gets flashy, he gets sloppy. I think it kind of takes away from the song quite a bit, right? But here, like him and Eddie, right in the pocket, like you said. So Eddie can be a little flashier on the bass line because Alex is just powering home the backbeat. And he's not doing anything silly with it, right? He's just powering it through. And it's really, really working for him.
It's what he does best, I think. I mean, when people talk about Alex as a really good drummer, like I think this is what they're talking about because he's not trying to overdo it. He's not, you know, he's there. He doesn't have to let you know, hey, I'm here. You know, like God rest him. I love Neil Peart, but I mean, there's no but really, but like Neil lets you know he's there all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, and he never lets you forget that he's there, and that's what I love about him, honestly. But Alex doesn't do that. Alex kind of does the opposite. He's subtle.
Yeah, when Alex doesn't try to emulate Neil Peart, and he instead goes to more of a Phil Rudd, where I'm not, you know, my Phil's gonna be played by a 4-year old, but you know what? There's no better in the pocket swing drummer than Phil Rudd, right? You don't have to be super flashy, right? You just have to be super good. And when I think Alex gets that stride, that's his wheelhouse. That's where he should stay. All right, let's keep going.
And it works, like you said.
Absolutely. Yes.
There was a moment where I completely forgot. It was just the way he was singing that verse that I forgot we were listening to a Sammy tune. Because for a moment there, I don't know why, but it almost sounded like he was emulating Roth, but a better Roth. In my brain kind of went into, hey, David sounds pretty good right now. That's it. And then it was like, wait, no, that's Sammy. I don't know what that was. And it's like, maybe I'm just crazy. And that'll probably sound like blasphemy to some people out there. And I apologize, but for a moment during that verse, I don't know what Sammy was doing, but it sounded almost like David, but better. So that's my only note there.
I knew it wasn't David because the lyrics, I think, were better. And again, we're not,
yeah,
you know, we're not reinventing the wheel lyrically here, right? Like, these guys aren't right. Bono, like trying to write sonnets in their music or anything. It's just a song about making up for lost time and a bunch of words that rhyme with time and high time and low time and bow time.
Yeah.
Lyrically, very simple, but it doesn't feel like it was just belched out 10 minutes before the recording session, right? Which, and I'm not saying that's true of all David Lee Roth lyrics, because he has some gems coming up. We just haven't covered him yet. The ones we covered have been very simple.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to getting into this more complex stuff, but that's an interesting point. And I wonder if that's maybe in the back of their minds a little bit, because the three new songs on this Greatest Hits were all Sammy tunes. Now on Best of Both Worlds, there was Best of Volume 1, which you talked about on this show before. I believe there was two new songs on that, right? And they were both Roth songs.
Yes, there were.
Me Wise Magic and Can't Get the Stuff No More,
I believe. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's interesting.
It is. I'm sure if you were to ask him about it, he would probably say, no, absolutely, I was not doing that. But maybe subconsciously he was. I don't know. But it's no secret that Sammy's the better songwriter. That's definitely, I mean, if we're seriously debating that whole thing, then I don't know. There's not enough time. But
Sammy has some bad lyrical songs coming up. I'm looking at Up for Breakfast. I'm looking at Love Walks In. Like, there's some really stupid shit coming up. And Roth, I think, has some good stuff. It's not all Hot for Teacher or Jump, right? Like, he actually has some decent composed songs. So I'm not so cut and dry on that. I think Roth has some gems, and I think Sammy has some stinkers. They might be closer than maybe we think.
Yeah, no one's perfect. No songwriter is perfect with their execution. That's for sure. I've always maintained that I believe Sammy is the better songwriter, and I think the numbers would dictate that. But that's a digression. Again, with during the chorus, even in that little pre-chorus area, Eddie sounds like he's just having fun on bass. Like, I think he just legitimately enjoys playing bass when he can, because he's matching his guitar so well. Like, it's almost, if you hadn't told me that Eddie was playing bass on this, I would have said, wow, Michael is really holding his own with Eddie. But now that you've told me, I kind of go, oh, I see what Eddie's doing. He wants to absolutely make sure that the bass line is almost matching what he's doing on the guitar nearly to a T, which is impossible, but he's trying to figure out a way. It just sounds like he's having fun with it, while also now I fully believe he's giving Michael the middle finger, which is a shame, but I mean, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah, there's that and the rhythm playing. And I want to tell you a quote here from Brad Tolinsky, who wrote the book Eruption. He says, quote, I think Eddie was taking his rhythm to new heights later on in his career. And what's really interesting about it, and it may be why those songs were never big hits or popular, is how the rhythm guitar part is constantly evolving throughout the songs. It's not repetitive in any way. It keeps on creating variations on itself. It's fascinating just to listen to the rhythm playing on those tracks. He really evolved as a rhythm player.
I think that's very telling, especially the further you go down the Hagar era. I think that's absolutely what it is. And I think that might be due in part to, I've always said that the Hagar era is my favorite because I feel like they grew as musicians during that era. Like, they wrote better songs, and I don't mean like these were catchier than the Roth era. What I mean is they were better structured. And you tell me that with the rhythm of Eddie's rhythm guitar playing, and yeah, it's all there. I think that had a lot to do with it, the more I think on it. So that does not shock me whatsoever.
All right, I believe we're coming up to Mr. Van Halen's solo here, so let's give it a listen.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
All right, guitar solo. Mr. Kamara is the guitar player on the panel. Your thoughts?
I mean, it's a Van Halen solo, that's for sure. I'm more intrigued by the weird intro to the solo. Kind of, yes. He's like he went back to the dirty riff, but he was doing variations on he wasn't changing the time signature, but he was doing interesting rhythms with it, and it's the tone. It's the tone of that riff that he somehow, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's clicking a different pedal, like an effect pedal, or if he's switching his little his pickup switch. I'm not sure what he's doing there, but he keeps changing his tone, but then once he rips into the solos, like, okay, there's the Eddie tone that we know. But again, he's, for this one, he is all up and down the fretboard, which that's not a new thing for him at all, because, you know, Eddie likes to utilize every bit of the fretboard, that's for sure. But I don't know, for some reason, it really stands out this time. But what I did was, underneath it all, pay attention to the rhythm and the bass. And those are so tight. They're so tight. I commend him once again, because that is not an easy solo. If I watched him play that 1,000 times, I don't think I could emulate it whatsoever. Not to the way he does it, but yeah, not a super long solo. I was actually kind of expecting it to go a little bit, but no, he just, especially when Sammy comes in, I was like, oh, well, that's the end of it. But then he keeps going a little bit, keeps going up and down the scale. But it was one and done. And that's sometimes, Eddie does that and it works for the song. I think this solo worked for the song. What do you think?
Oh, 100% agree. And, I'm sitting here listening to it like this is a master guitar player at work, because mm-hmm. I'm not a guitar player. I couldn't dissect that and figure out how the hell he did it. I really like that different tone leading into it. I could have done without Sammy going time, 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 time. That was unnecessary. Yeah. He did it at the beginning too, and I kind of chuckled. I'm like, you don't need to throw that in there, but whatever. Whatever floats your boat, Mr. Hagar. The song is banging up to that point. Mm-hmm. But Eddie Van Halen, top of his game. And you know, you kind of are saying the same thing as Brad Tolinsky, the author there, and me, not as versed in music as you or him. I can get that. I you know, the rhythm playing is very tight, the bass playing is very tight, and it's all working together. Whereas on last week's song, which I actually recorded not that far out from this one, it was on the album prior to this one. That didn't happen on whatever that dog shit thing we did last week was.
Oh boy.
Whereas here, it's all meshing together. And again, Alex just pounding away, good power in those drums, nothing too flashy. He's not throwing in fills when he doesn't have to. Just staying in the pocket, and it's all working. I love that solo. All right.
Good stuff. Keep her going. Yeah, like
we got a minute left in the song here.
All right.
Mark Meyer, that was the first single off of Best of Both Worlds, the 2004 Greatest Hits compilation by the Mighty Van Halen. One of the final times Michael Anthony and Sammy Hagar worked with Van Halen. These three songs on this album were the last contributions either ever had with Van Halen. I'll let you kick things off, but before we do, maybe we should talk about the new rating system we got here. And you know, the yes no thing, that was kind of working, but as I do, I'm going back and I'm listening to the podcast that I ripped a lot of these ideas from. That's Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. Those guys are phenomenal. Their latest show was on Oingo Boingo. They did an Oingo Boingo song. It was the one from Back to School. And I love that song, and I love that movie. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this and you like rock and roll podcasting, please, Pot of Thunder. They started off as an all KISS podcast. They were doing what we're doing with Van Halen. They pick at random a song from the entire catalog and break it down. It took them like 300-400 shows, whatever it was, to get through all the KISS's stuff. It's only going to take us like 120 shows to get through Van Halen. But we're basically just taking that format and doing it with Van Halen. But they used to do, in their rating system, they do Hell or Hallelujah, because KISS has a single, Hell or Hallelujah. So it was either a hell, they sent it to hell, or it was Hallelujah. And I'm thinking, well, what could we do Van Halen-wise from their songs? And it seems like the majority of Sammy Hagar's songs written with Van Halen involved dreams. So I was able to, we have a couple of dream songs. Of course, Dreams from 5150 was a big hit. It's a great song. It's an uplifting mm-hmm. dream song. And then we have The Dream Is Over from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. So if we don't like the song, you're going to hear. You're going to hear Dream Another Dream, This Dream Is Over. And if we like the song, you're going to hear. All right, so very simple. That's what dreams are made of, or Dream Another Dream, This Dream Is Over. So, Mark Meyer, let's go to you first. Your vote on It's About Time from Best of Both Worlds, the best of Van Halen.
The first Sammy track of our podcast, and it was not at all what song I thought it might be. But I mean, then again, Sammy has a lot of tracks in Van Halen's catalog. There's a lot of songs, folks. This is not the first one I thought would pop up, from the Sammy era. And this is one that I was not 100% familiar with whatsoever. So, I gotta say, or rather, Sammy said it for me. That's what dreams are made of. Look, this was just a kick-ass rockin' track, man. And it's an opening track. I loved this, actually. The more I keep thinking about it, the more, much like you, Corey, you said this song gets stuck in your head a lot, and I see why. It's nothing too overly flashy. It's not going to be in the upper echelon of Hot for Teacher or even Dreams or Right Now, things of that nature, but this is good. This is a good, Van Halen track. It subverts your expectations, or at least mine, at the very start with that very dirty kind of not so Van Halen-esque riff at the beginning, but then it transitions and Eddie lets you know, it's like, no, it's still me, you guys, still me. I actually really dug the bass playing in this track, and I'm not trying to diss Michael Anthony whatsoever. I think he's a fantastic musician, but he just doesn't do what Eddie did on this song. And my one criticism, though, I'm a little bit disappointed that the that little outro, the kind of a fade out outro that they did. Or it's not even a fade out. It's just more like one of those concert outros where we're done. Here's the end of the track. Here it is. Everything's ringing out. That was Alex's opportunity to show out and do a drum fill, like a crazy Peart-esque drum fill, and he just didn't do it. He didn't do it. So Eddie took the reins, and like, I don't know if you guys were paying attention, but man, he's all over that bass fretboard. Just like, I'm still playing bass. I'm still doing it. And honestly, I'm not mad about it, but I am a little disappointed in Alex for not taking the reins. He should have. That was his moment to shine. That's every drummer's moment to shine is at the very end when everything's ringing out. You do the drum fill and then you end it with the last bam. But nevertheless, wonderful track from me. Corey, does this track hold up to you or does it not?
Well, this may shock you, but I'm thinking. This is...
I am shocked.
I know, right? No. This is top 10, maybe top 5 Hagar songs for me. I love It's About Time. This is by far the best new track on out of the three that were on this album. Up for Breakfast is not great. Learning to See, maybe one of my most hated Sammy Hagar tunes. But I love It's About Time. Everything about this song works for me. Like you mentioned, you already talked about the bass. I love the powerful yet restrained drumming by Alex Van Halen. I don't mind that he didn't go crazy at the end. Let Eddie have his moment. He's out there anyway. People are coming to see Eddie. Alex was just doing his job and doing it very well. Sammy sounds great. Lyrics sound cool. The song's not really about much, but that's okay. He sounds amazing. We even got Michael Anthony, who unfortunately, like you said, didn't play bass, but provided background vocals and sounds amazing on this track.
Yes.
Everything I love about Van Halen is encompassed in this track, and I absolutely loved it. This is right up there with Hot for Teacher amongst my favorites that we've done so far.
That is, I mean, I will say, yeah, I'm with you as far as our episode goes, or episodes. This was one of the most fun to dissect for sure, because again, this is why we do this show. Songs that maybe we're not 100% familiar with out of Van Halen's whole catalog, and it can be a pleasant surprise or not, you know, like last time. But this was a fantastic surprise for me, because again, I was not familiar with this track. I was really trying to rack my brains into thinking, like, no, surely you've heard this. And again, if I have, I have no memory of it, but I'm glad that I didn't, because I was listening to this very fresh, and man, now I really want to go back and listen to it a couple hundred more times and just sort of just take it all in, because I really dug this.
Yeah, there's really not much more you can say. This was it's a hidden gem, I think, in the Van Halen catalog, because not a lot of people talk about the songs from Best of Both Worlds. Or even the couple of songs that were on Best Of, like Me, Wise Magic and those, which are really good songs. This is, I think, clearly the best of the three. And we're going to get to the other two. Unfortunately, they'll be coming up at some point. But for our first Sammy song and our last show of 2021, I'm so happy that it was, about time. Absolutely. It's about time we got a Sammy song.
It's about time, yes. That's, see, that was the wheel. The wheel was telling us. It was like, I know you want Sammy. It's the end of the year. I'm going to throw you a bone. It's about time. And you're damn right, Will, it's about time. And I'm glad that track did not suck, because at least for me and for Corey, that track did not suck. I'm sure there are probably a few of you out there that go like, that song is... there are probably a lot of diehard Michael Anthony fans out there that are kind of like, if Michael's not in it, not into it. Like, then that's fine. You know what? You should hit us up on Twitter and tell us all about it, because we genuinely want to hear from you. We want to hear your thoughts. You probably have a different take than we do every single week, every single episode. Let us know the whys or the why nots. Absolutely. Corey, speaking of the social medias, where can they find you to yell at you if they don't want to just yell at me?
Feel free to yell at me at CD Morset on Twitter and Instagram. And yes, I'd love to talk Van Halen with whoever wants to talk Van Halen. We're not experts. We're not historians. We're fans. And we're doing this because we love the band. And we know that there's going to be some stinkers. We've covered a couple already in our 7 episodes. And there's more are coming. But it's songs like this that is the reason we're doing this. Because here's a song not a lot of people know. It wasn't a big hit. It's not super popular. But God damn it if this thing doesn't rock. And I love It's About Time. And yes, please let us know on Twitter. At Podcast Will Rock is the show Twitter account. PodcastWillRock@gmail.com. If you want to shoot us an email, give us some suggestions. Let us know what we're doing right. Let us know what we're doing wrong. We're not immune to criticism here. Let's keep making the show better. Let's get more people listening. And let's just keep having fun reliving the music of this amazing band.
Absolutely. Fun is the name of the game. And if you don't want to yell at Corey individually or at the podcast Twitter itself, you can yell at me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Either one of those will be fine. You can totally. And when I say yell, I mean you can yell at me as long as it's in the context of the show, it's fine. Like, you could be excited and yell, or you could be like really mad that we haven't covered a particular track. And it's like, well, have you listened to the show? It's random, but it's fine. Or you could just be mad that, Mark, your take on that song and Eddie's bass playing is really dumb. Tell me why. I legit will have that conversation with you. It's totally fine. As Corey said, at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter, definitely hit that up. We will get so much better. I will get much better at promoting the show and the site on Twitter. I know I'm really bad about that, but I will get better. Trust me, because the more we do this, the easier it's going to be. The more exciting it becomes. This episode has got me like really, really excited about the future, because I can't wait to find more gems like this. I'm not even going to dwell on the negatives of the stinkers that are sure to follow. We're not going to think about that. And maybe they won't be so bad as I remember. I can think of a few top of my head that I really don't want to talk about. But
oh, there's some doozies coming up. Yeah.
Yeah, there are, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it, the Rainbow Bridge, if you will, because there's nothing more metal than the Asgardian Rainbow Bridge, and there is nothing more metal than a podcast that rocks, and you are listening to And the Podcast Will Rock, the Van Halen podcast, where we, the fans, talk about the tracks, talk about the catalogs. We hope you all have had a great holiday season. Have a happy new year, and we will rock you later.